Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Pulling it out, it all falls down. I'm telling you, it all falls down. Pulling it out.
Y'all can't handle the truth.
I'm telling you,
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This topic, dealing with this madness.
Yeah, giving all praises for the Most High for giving us the understanding and the ability to come out and to address issues such as this. So what we're gonna do, first of all, we're gonna try to lay a quick foundation as usual. I like to first open up with Jeremiah 3:23.
Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills.
Oh, sorry about that. Right to the point, 25.
All right. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 25. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us.
So the scriptures say we lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, right now, as a people, we are confused. And the shame that we're dealing with is our sins, and we don't look at it as shame right now, and we don't look at ourselves as being confused. That's the majority of our people out there. But us, through the mercy of God, the opportunity to have our eyes open by the grace which is in our Lord and Savior Christ, we can see the condition of our people as we learn the scriptures and see how the way that our people is operating is a very shameful thing they're doing, shameful ways they're dealing with themselves and dealing with one another. And they're confused on, who they are, as a people,
mm-hmm.
how they're supposed to conduct themselves, how they're supposed to treat one another, how they're supposed to deal, deal with their children. All these things that we're going through as a people is straight up confusion. Yeah, read that again for me, 25.
Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 25. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God.
And that's where the confusion comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Give me real quick 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. And that's where the confusion comes in, is that we have turned our back on God. We have, even to this day, a lot of us, when the scriptures come out, we decide that we have a better way, we have a better understanding, and we want to compromise the scriptures, we want to debate with scriptures, we think we're smarter than what the Most High say. People are saying all kind of crazy things when the scriptures come out because they don't want to be obedient to what God has to say. So they rejected God, and what type of state they're in right now? They're in a state of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, read that for me, 1 Corinthians 14:33.
1 Corinthians 14:33, and it reads, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace."
Yeah, God is not the author of confusion. And the reason why they're confused because they have turned away from God, and God is the author of peace. They wouldn't be confused. They would have peace. They'll have direction in the courses that they've taken in their daily life. And to make a decision, they would have understanding on how to deal properly.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have understanding on when they go out to choose a partner and who's supposed to be the partner. They have understanding on when they get dressed, how they're supposed to dress. They have an understanding of so many, on all levels, you have a better understanding, but they don't want to deal with God. So what majority of people are doing is following the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is the world dealing with God? Absolutely not. The world that we're in is given to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to First John's second chapter. This is a verse we read all the time, but in a point like this, we got to read it because it hits the point. And then we're going to go to our first clip to start the show off.
All right, 1 John, you said chapter 2, verse 15?
Yeah, we're going to read 15 and 16.
1 John chapter 2, verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him."
Yeah, because this world is of Satan, and this world rejects the counsel of God. You know, brother's been bringing our shows over this past week about politics and how politics is ran from the president on down.
Mm-hmm.
They're not dealing with the scriptures. The president came out on the show, I believe the show was an encore, but it played this Friday. The brother repents is the key. The brothers was bringing out the point and playing clips where the president basically said that, look, the way this government is set up, we cannot deal with the Bible. This is a democracy. We can't deal with, we have all different religions and all different philosophies here. So basically he's telling you, because the scriptures tell us either there's two tables. Either you're dealing with God or you're dealing with Satan. So basically they chose to be a kingdom set up under the counsel of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And not only this kingdom here, but like the scriptures say, the whole world. Whether you're in Europe, in China, doesn't matter. The whole world lies wickedness because the whole world is not dealing with the counsel of the Heavenly Father in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on in the world? They're in total confusion and darkness. And they're under the counsels of Satan. So go ahead, read that for me, brother.
1 John chapter 2, verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world."
Yeah, so when we look at that, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. And a lot of the things we're going to go through in this class in particular is going to be dealing with the lust of the flesh. You know, women getting things done to their body to try to improve how they look.
Mm-hmm.
So men will lust after them or desire them, you know, whether it's breast implants, butt implants, things of that nature. It's all for the lust of the flesh and the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
And they have totally rejected the counsel of God and what the scriptures say. So we're going to play the clip. You know, if you don't have nothing you want to bring out, brother, you got anything you want to bring out first?
Well, you know what? Yeah. Go to Proverbs real quick. Yeah, I just want to bring this out before we even get started, because the world don't understand that the Most High God, Proverbs chapter 1, the Most High God is trying to warn people,
mm-hmm.
and trying to bring out scriptures to show people that we have to listen to him, you know, and that's the whole key point. Everyone wants to listen to their own thoughts, their own imagination, their own heart, They want to listen to what the rest of society is doing. They want to keep up with the Joneses. You know, they want to be accepted. You know, so they'll do whatever the rest of the world is doing, like I said, and just keep up with the Joneses. Whatever they're doing, they're going to do.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But no, that's not the way it's supposed to roll. Because in the time of Noah, what happened to all those people that was rolling that way? That was taken out by the flood. So, you know, it's very important that we take heed to counsel. We take heed to wisdom. That's why I'm going to go to the scripture before we play that clip. Proverbs chapter 1. And verse 20.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom cried without. She uttered her voice in the streets. She cried in the chief place of the concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttered her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge.
And that's the whole key point. Because a lot of people got to understand, we have to listen to the counsel of the Most High God and listen to his wisdom. Because a lot of people at the end of that scripture in verse 22, fools hate knowledge. So even if you see in the chat room, you see how we got those pictures posted up, you know, about how men are getting sex changes and how little boys is wearing dresses and things of that nature. And we're going to go into that with the clips. But I'm saying even people that are getting sex changes, and also people that are getting Botox in their face, puffing up their lips, breast implants, butt implants. I mean, seriously, though, you're getting a butt transplant,
a butt implant.
I mean, this world has really become so superficial, like we were saying before we even started the show. Me and you were talking about this, how the whole world became superficial, and now we need to get back to sound doctrine. We need to get back to the word of God and stop following the rest of the world into this madness, because it's deeper than skin deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, people so worried about their beauty, their outward appearance, and how they look, and they're so worried about, you know, their clothes, you know, their body, you know, their bling bling or nice cars, nice clothes, and they don't really have deep values inside. You know what I mean? And this is what we're trying to cry out. Or in other words, this is what the Most High trying to cry out, and we're just a mouthpiece of knowledge that's passed to us, to the world, so that we all could come into the knowledge of the Most High God and make it into paradise.
Let me get one scripture to add on that, which you just said. 2 Corinthians 5, 3, verse 10 and 11, because the scripture talks about wisdom cried without, and she uttered her voice in the chief place of the concourse. So basically, you know, I want everybody to understand that the Most High has men out there that's going to be crying out.
Exactly.
You know, and that's why I want to read the scripture, because it's a fearful thing that we have to get understanding of. Read that for me.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
See, knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, the judgment that's coming upon. Terror is a fear, the fear of the Lord. So we know the judgment that's coming on this world, that everyone, every single person out there in the sound of our voice, every person walking on this earth must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So there's men that's going to be coming to you, but some people try to act like God is going to tell them. So the Most High has men that he's going to teach, and he's going to raise up in his word, men that learned from other men until they came to repentance on a level for the Heavenly Father to deal with them and give them understanding to go out and teach this word, to warn people. Even like in the time of Noah, people were warned to repent before judgment comes. So a lot of people are just following the course of the world. They'll use the name Christ and use the name saved and use the Lord and this and that, but yet what the scriptures and what the Heavenly Father is telling you in the scriptures, they don't want to listen to it. They want to do what the heck they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be happy. They want to have a good time. They want to party hardy.
Exactly.
But like we went over last week, your time is running out.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know when our time is going to come to an end or when the Lord is going to appear.
That's right.
So we got to take this thing very seriously. And this world, they totally confused, man. They have no understanding on nothing. And that's what we're going to show you according to the, you know, the scriptures and the will of the Father. We're going to bring this information out.
Well, I want to finish reading this out.
Okay.
All right. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We start at verse 10, but now I'm going to read verse 11 again. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifested or manifest unto God, and our trust also are made manifest in your conscience.
Yeah, because the Most High know what we're doing. You know, we're going to get a reward, you know, as long as we continue in his word. But the thing is, we hope that we reach your conscience.
That's right. That's the whole key point that I want to make. Yeah.
That's why we're here. We're doing this. We hope we're clicking your conscience that, look, you have to repent and make yourself ready to meet the Lord.
Yeah, so Lord's will, some of the things we talked about, you know, it'll get your mind ready for what's about to come and what's about to take place when we play some of these clips and we dive into it, because you have to be conscientious about some of the things that are coming out and understand that the Lord is telling you these things to warn you because the terror of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Because when the Lord comes and you're going to be judged for what you have done in this world, it's not a light thing. So that's why we always cry out wisdom. Sometimes people don't understand that we really care so much. It's coming from the heart. You know, we shed tears for our family members. We shed tears, you know what I mean, even for those we don't know to repent, because this whole world is in confusion. Like you said earlier, they're in confusion. You know, they want to keep doing what they want to do because they feel in their heart is right. But that's not, we're not dealing with what we feel. Yeah. We're dealing with what the scriptures are bringing out. So, all right, you want to play the first clip?
All right.
Clearly the best father in the world, at least for this year. We've got a man in Germany who did basically whatever it took to make his son feel comfortable with the way that he was. Now, this originally was in West Berlin, and so this is Nils Pickert. And so his son was interested in dressing in a non-traditional way. It's a very young boy, but he decided that he didn't want to wear male clothing. He wanted to wear dresses, which was fine in West Berlin, but when they moved to a much more traditional South German village, the town had a problem with it. And so he decided to help his son out by also dressing in skirts and dresses. And what do you think about Nils Pickert?
I think it's such a sweet story, especially when you look at pictures like that. And I know that some people are going to argue that, look, are you really going to allow your son to wear dresses and skirts when you know he's going to get ridiculed? I think children know from a very early age, you know, what their sexuality, maybe not necessarily their sexuality, but there's a reason why some kids, some boys want to play with Barbies as opposed to Legos. You know, they start forming their identity, and do you really want to fight against that, or do you want to embrace that as a parent?
Yeah.
And of course, I think it's up to the parent, but I love that this particular parent wanted to embrace it. It's just the sweetest story, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm sure others will disagree.
Even at the risk of embarrassing himself.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The fact that he is joining his son in that type of apparel makes me happy. But another thing to also keep in mind is, can you imagine what it was like for women when they didn't want to wear dresses anymore and they wanted to wear pants, when they wanted to wear trousers? I'm sure they got a tremendous amount of ridicule for that. So are we kind of shifting the culture for males slowly but surely so guys start wearing dresses? Probably not.
It might be a while before Jake wears a dress in the show.
Oh my God, Jake in a dress, not a pretty picture.
Yeah, well, so we've got a couple more quotes that I think will definitely put you on his side. So he says originally, I didn't want to talk my son into not wearing dresses and skirts. He didn't make friends in doing that in Berlin already. And after a lot of contemplation, I had only one option left, to broaden my shoulders for my little buddy and dress in a skirt myself. Aw, I just want to hug him. And he gives an update so that you know how it's actually doing for the kid now that he's been dressing openly in this village. He says, and what's the little guy doing by now? He's painting his fingernails. He thinks it looks pretty on my nails, too. He's simply smiling. When other boys, and it's nearly always boys, want to make fun of him, he says, you only don't dare to wear skirts and dresses because your dads don't dare to either. That's how broad his own shoulders have become by now, and all thanks to Daddy in a skirt.
Aww.
An endearing story from the young person.
It definitely is. That was a very sweet story. It warms my heart. I wish we had more people on the planet like that weren't so afraid of change and afraid of something that's unconventional.
All right, people. If that clip didn't throw you back, you know, it's really a sad story. When you really think about this clip that's being played and you think about some of the comments that were being made about they were giving him, they basically was giving him a round of applause for putting on a dress to give his son more encouragement to wear a dress and to also, like she was saying, to embrace, you know, it's okay to embrace that, the painting of the nails, you know, if his sexual preference, what it's going to be, wouldn't you want to embrace that and not go against that? You know what I'm saying? No, we're supposed to embrace the Most High God and not Satan. And as you can hear, as you heard that tape, you can see that that was demons all in that tape, brother.
One thing they said too in the beginning of the tape was that it was fine in West Berlin,
mm-hmm.
and they moved into a new area. So West Berlin is another area in Germany, and I'm like, man, it was fine in West Berlin. They had no problem with him wearing a dress in West Berlin. So what the hell is going on in West Berlin? You know?
Man.
And the new area they moved into, there was a problem with it. So instead of, they're saying that instead of his father fighting against it, that he embraced it, and that made him a very good father.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the scriptures, are we supposed to just embrace what our children are doing? Is it not the responsibility of a mother and a father to teach a child in the way he's supposed to go? Does a child automatically know what he's supposed to be doing?
No, and that's what we're going to dive into. Because a lot of people, we see in the chat room, we see Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. We're going to get to that scripture too. And the whole thing is that the whole world really doesn't understand the knowledge of the Most High God. They're following the lust of this world and stuff like that. So people got to understand that children are going to come up with foolish thoughts, man. And we're going to go into these scriptures to prove it. But first and foremost, before we even move on, go to Psalms chapter 78. And we're gonna read verse 1. Because if your child is doing things like this, because imagine, brother, you come home and your child's wearing your wife high heels, your son, and walking around the house high heels and makeup on his face and a dress, and he's running around the house. Like, are you really going to condone that? Are you really going to allow him to continue walking in a dress and wearing makeup around your house?
No.
All right. But other people are embracing it, saying it's okay because they don't know God. All right, so
remind me of the scripture where it says they call evil good and good evil.
Mm-hmm.
If a father was to correct his son, then they'll say that the father is wicked.
Exactly.
But yet the father that embraced his son doing something that's against nature,
mm-hmm.
that father is righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's just dive right into it and stop playing games.
Confusion.
Psalms chapter 78, verse 1.
Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children.
Let's stop there before we move on. So this is all going back to way back when the children of Israel received the laws and statutes and commandments of the Most High. And we were commanded to teach our children, because the whole thing is that when you read this here, it says at the end of 5, he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So all the commandments that was taught to us, we had to pass down to our children.
Yep.
All right? So all these commandments, we must read the Bible. We'll find out what they are, right? And then that's how we're going to know what we're supposed to follow and what our children are supposed to follow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reading verse 6. Then we're going to get to Deuteronomy 22 in a minute. Read verse 6.
That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children.
So even our children are going to have children, and we're supposed to pass down this wisdom and knowledge and understanding to them so they can pass to their children.
Exactly.
All right, read on. Keep going.
That verse 7,
mm-hmm.
that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
Yeah.
And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God.
Just like the story we just heard with this lady talking about this man that allowed his son to wear a dress. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 22 and 5 now, and let's read that. Okay? Because now the Most High is telling us don't be stubborn, right? Like our forefathers were when we didn't listen to the laws, statutes, and commandments that the Most High gave us. And that's how come we got what? Taken out of our land. Okay? Read Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5.
Okay. The woman shall not wear that which pertain unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do this are an abomination unto the Lord thy God.
What is a woman's garment, brother?
Well, a woman's garment is a dress.
Okay.
You know, and the scriptures speak about, it goes above that to let us know about women that are virtuous.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do have women that are whores,
mm-hmm.
and that are harlots. So the scriptures tell us about a virtuous woman adorning themselves with modest apparel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not only a dress, but if a woman is a virtuous woman, a woman that fears God and that's dealing with God, she's supposed to dress modestly, meaning humbly. You know, not wearing tight clothes that's going to be showing her figure and wearing things that pertain to a man, like a pants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go into the history of pants belong, even in this wicked world.
She
know,
even knew that. She said it even when she was commenting on the dress.
Exactly. Because, you know, that's the point she made about that was a very interesting point, because if a little girl wears a pants now, nothing's going to be said.
Exactly.
Because that's something they already overcame.
And they accept it.
Yeah.
It's been accepted.
But mm-hmm. there was a time that if a little girl was to wear a dress, that...
You mean pants?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a time when if a little girl, or even if a woman was to wear pants in the mm-hmm. society, there would have been an outcry.
Exactly.
We even the brother has sent me a clip, man, but I forgot to get the clip up about... I was going to put it in the chat room, but I got lost track. But it was a clip about in 1916s when they arrested these women that were wearing pants. They were riding a bike, a motorcycle,
mm-hmm.
and they were wearing pants, and they got arrested for wearing men's clothing.
Wow.
You know, so that was a time when even when you look in the 1800s, or you look at pictures from the 1800s, 1700s, women wear dresses down to the feet.
Mm-hmm.
They wear long sleeves. Only the men wear what the scriptures spoke about men wearing were breeches. You had men like, even the picture you'll see with Abraham Lincoln, they had like, not Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, where he had a pants to his knee.
Mm-hmm.
That's considered a breech. Even other pictures you might see of Benjamin Franklin and different people from back in that time, that when they were wearing the wigs,
mm-hmm.
the men would have pants that reached to their knees. But the women, all the women wear dresses down to their feet. So there was a time when they had that good sense, but here come the women movement and women trying to be equal to men, and they begin to wear pants. Now, they trying to bring it to another level of following Satan, where now they're trying to talk about men putting on dresses.
It's crazy because I said this before when we did the topic, that my son is only 6 years old, my son Judah, and the thing is, like all our kids, we're getting ready to go to the bathroom at a restaurant. And as we're going to the bathroom, we look at the sign. And I say to him, how can you tell which one is for a boy and which one is for a girl? You know, which one's for the man and which one's for the woman when you go into the bathroom? And he'll say, that's the man right there. Why? Because he got pants on. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the woman right there. Why? Because she got a dress on. That symbol is on the door. So my son's like, we can't go in there. That's a dress. That's for girls. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So children know. They really know better. You understand? When it comes down to, like, who's supposed to wear a dress, who's supposed to wear pants. You see what I'm saying? So the whole thing is, man, is that the whole world now accepts, just like the lady said, You know, she think it was a beautiful thing that he stood up for his son.
Yeah.
And he even wore a dress himself so his son could feel comfortable with wearing a dress. That's a damn shame, brother.
Yeah.
So it goes to show you that this world is not paying attention to what the words of God are saying. They could care less what the word is, what the word of God is saying. All right.
And I just put the link to that video. It was made by the Young Turks. I don't know if anybody ever watched the Young Turks site on YouTube. But the link to the video is up in there if anybody interested in watching that video.
All right, give me Proverbs chapter 22 real quick. Let's keep moving. Proverbs chapter 22. All right, we're going to explain this real clear for everybody to see. All right, because there's going to be a lot of people out here that don't really understand the Bible. You know, they don't really understand, what do you mean? What's wrong with me letting my son wear a dress? Well, we just read the scripture that says that you can't wear it which pertaineth unto a woman, okay?
Yeah, a man can't wear that which pertains to a woman. Mm-hmm. A woman can't wear what pertains to a man.
Exactly. All right, so the Proverbs chapter 22 and read verse 15.
Well, 6 or 15?
I mean 15, I'm sorry.
6 or 15. So.
Verse 15.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him.
All right, the reason why I'm going to this scripture is because it's foolishness, right? It's foolishness for a child to say, a son, all right, want to say, I want to put on a dress.
Uh-huh.
Is that not foolish?
Yeah.
All right. Go to Proverbs. We're gonna come back to this. Stay in Proverbs, right? But read chapter 19, all right, and read verse 3. This is going to show you what foolishness is, even though we just read in Deuteronomy 22 and 5 what wisdom is. But let's read what foolishness is now.
The foolishness of a man perverted his way, and his heart fretted against the Lord.
So it's showing you that foolishness is contrary to doctrine. It's showing you that that's going to pervert you. Just like the Bible says you're perverted.
Yeah.
All right? Well, according to God, you're perverted if a little boy put on a dress.
Yeah, that's perverted.
That's perverted.
Because the Lord perverted is the shame from what is right.
Exactly.
The shame from what is right.
Exactly. So you look at verse 3, the foolishness of a man perverted his way. And his heart pressed against the Lord, meaning if you want to go contrary to doctrine, you're going to pervert the way. All right? Going against the Lord, I've been doing the opposite of what the Lord is telling me. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what the whole world is doing. Find the problem of it. Okay. So maybe. Correction is going to take place in our household according to the commandments of God.
Absolutely.
So this is something that we gotta we got to practice in our homes, because now we got to read, we got to read the scriptures, and we got to find out what it is the Most High wants from us. So now if our children is going against the commandments of the Most High, now we have to correct them. All right? So she said the audio is better now. Cool.
Very good.
All right. Go to
It's just like if your child wants to do drugs, what you're going to say, oh, that's just the way he is, and you're going to go get some drugs and do it with him? You know, it's just foolishness, man. It's simple. You know, it sounds like something stupid, but it's no more stupid than what Paula did in wearing a dress because his son wanted to put on a dress.
Yeah, it's a bunch of foolishness. Go to verse 6 on Proverbs 22 and 6. You know, we always use that one. Let's go to Proverbs 22 and 6 and read that. Yeah.
Train up a child in the way he should go.
Mm-hmm.
And when he is old, he will not depart from it.
All right, the reason why we go into this is because we just proved that a person is perverted if he allows his son to wear a dress. Now, when you correct your son from wearing a dress and you stop him from wearing a dress, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. He's already, you know, the thought of foolishness is sin, as the scriptures say. So he was thinking to wear a dress. He put on a dress. Now you correct him. You don't let him wear a dress no more. Now you train him up in the way that he should go. So when he get older, he's not going to ever think about putting on a dress again, brother. Because now it's embedded in his mind because you taught him the scriptures of the Most High. So it's embedded in his mind. He has been taught morals. He has been taught wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the scriptures. So when he gets older, it's not going to depart from him.
Exactly.
And this is what this man was supposed to teach his son. You know, it's just as simple as that. It's really, really simple. But the whole world is making it that they want you to accept someone that's going to be gay. They want you to accept, you know, a homosexual that's a homosexual. They want to accept same-sex marriages because that's what the whole world is into. That's what the whole world embraces. So they want you to accept it in your home. But we're saying, no, we're not. According to the Bible, we're not going to accept it. And this is not something we're supposed to accept.
So when you look at the people that was giving him praise for doing something like that, what type of doctrine or wisdom are they dealing with that tells them that was a good judgment?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? What are they dealing with? You know, I'm sure they probably attend some type of church or something like that. But what are they dealing with? We know for a fact they're not dealing with the scriptures.
Nah, it's impossible.
So what they're really dealing with is their own minds. You know what I'm saying? Their own personal mind and their feelings. And that's what I noticed about a lot of people, especially people that's in like the media.
Mm-hmm.
All the people that seem to have a microphone in their face,
mm-hmm.
they go along with what society's pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they was to kick against society or say something against society, they'll lose their little, they won't be on the mic no more.
Exactly.
They'll lose their position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why most of the time when you notice all these people on TV, these news reporters, and all these people that got the mic,
mm-hmm.
that's affecting the way what people are going to hear, are all bringing out the same doctrine.
Yeah.
You know, and it's contrary, and it's all against the Heavenly Father in Christ. You know, their whole belief system, they might say they're Christians, but their whole belief system is contrary to the words of the Most High in Christ.
Man, and that's the sad part. Matter of fact, jump up, because I can't help but to see the scripture right in front of me now you said that. Proverbs 21, right where you're at, and read verse 30. It's just jumping right out.
Proverbs 31 and 30.
No, 21 and 30.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
21 and 30. There is no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel against the law.
And that's what they're doing. They're receiving counsel from other people, brother, that their counsel don't make no sense. When we just heard that clip, their counsel was embracing this man and embracing what he was doing with his son and loving every minute of it and saying, oh, how beautiful, how nice has this man become to his son to allow him to wear a dress because that's what he wanted to do. We need more parents out there like that. You know what I mean? This is what these people are really thinking. We need more people like this.
You know what's funny about that scripture? I'm looking at the verse above it, right? Check out the verse above it.
Mm-hmm.
It said, a wicked man hardened his face. But as for the upright, he directed his ways.
Mm-hmm.
So when he hears gospel, what the scriptures say, hard in his face. He don't want to hear that.
Exactly.
But as for the upright, he let the Most High
direct his way.
Direct, you know, what he's going to do. These people ain't letting the Most High direct their way.
No, they're not.
And I'm sure they heard scriptures concerning this. But they don't care about the scriptures. They think they're smarter than the scriptures.
That's the whole point, because they take counsel by other men out here that's not even grounded in true wisdom. Because they're getting counsel from these individuals. Anything that's against the Lord is not wisdom. That's what the scripture is saying. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Your understanding ain't above God. So for you to say that it's okay for a kid to wear a dress, that is foolishness. That is not wisdom. That is not good counsel. You know?
Terrible counsel.
Yeah, so that's why the whole world got to understand that the Bible has all the answers. The Bible has all the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Not your professor, not your doctor, not your grandmother, you know what I'm saying? Not your friend, or even these so-called, like you said, these people out here with this microphone, these people out here with these talk shows. They don't have no wisdom. If they're not teaching the Bible, there is no wisdom in their counsel. And this is what we're trying to teach the world out there. Don't just fall for the okie doke and believe anything because it sounds good. Let's find out what the Bible says. And just because your mind might concur with it because of your emotions, might embrace the same thing you're hearing, it doesn't make it right. Because now I got to read the Bible. I can't entertain that if it's not in the Bible.
You can't justify it.
You can't.
That goes back to the famous law talk scripture, Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them.
Exactly.
And if there's no light in them, what's in them? Utter darkness, man. Utter and total darkness.
Exactly.
And confusion.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Then after we go to this, we'll take a break. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. I should have went to this scripture first, but it's all right because we're going to hit it anyway.
Okay.
Just so people can understand that this is not a game. Go ahead, read that.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
So the first thing you see here is that if you really want to make it to the kingdom of God, he's letting you know right here that the unrighteous shall not enter. So you want to find out, well, damn, excuse my language, but darn, am I being, or am I living unrighteously? Do I want to make it to the kingdom?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So now he's saying, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now he's about to go into some of the things that's going to make you unrighteous.
So the question is, how do I become righteous?
Exactly. So read that.
Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
So stop there. So we want to deal with the effeminate and then nor abusers of themselves with mankind, because that's dealing with the topic we're discussing now. Because even as a little boy is now, you know, when we are addressed, now you got to say to yourself, okay, we're looking at this word effeminate. What does this word effeminate mean? Because this word effeminate is describing an individual that's not going to make it into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So now you got to say to yourself, what does effeminate mean?
Mm.
So effeminate means, for people that don't know, effeminate means that a man is putting on qualities and things that pertains to a woman. You understand? Mm. So is not putting on a dress pertain to a woman?
Yeah, putting on a dress is an effeminate character.
Exactly. Painting up your... Remember
your nails? You talking about painting his nails?
Painting his nails, his toenails, his fingernails. And, come on, man. And now you're putting on lipstick and wearing high heels. You're in a dress. Now you're doing all the rest of the thing. You know, as women, they go out, look pretty, and, you know, adorn themselves and get ready to go out. So you're doing the same thing as a woman.
And they said the little child did that because you guys, when they were teasing him, you guys won't do it because your fathers won't do it. But my father broadened my shoulders, meaning made him proud to be the way he is. His father has made him proud to be overt.
Mm-hmm. So they make him proud. So he's making his son embrace it even the more.
Exactly.
He's making his son, you know what I'm saying? engage more in dealing with wearing dresses and everything else. That's really sad. So now we're reading this and we're showing you that to be effeminate is to have qualities like a woman, okay? And you don't, a man ain't supposed to act like a woman, dress like a woman, talk like a woman. These qualities are not of a man. So when the Most High made us, all right. Can you hear us now?
If you're having a problem, just refresh.
Lord's will, you can hear us. There was a problem with the system. You can hear us now? All right, cool. All right. Yeah, we're finally back. So, Lord's will, everything will sound better. But anyway, the whole world is embracing effeminate qualities. They're accepting, it's easy to accept now a man that has qualities like a woman.
Yeah.
Talks like a woman, dressed like a woman, act like a woman. You see what I'm saying? Sound like a woman. So the whole thing is that we have to learn how to understand what the Bible is saying and the things that we need to make it to the kingdom. Well, it's, it can't be still a problem. Kakum must have sent that when it was a problem.
I hope so.
Because they just said they could hear us.
Right.
Anyway, we're going to take a break anyway, and then we'll come back. Lord's will, the sound will be better.
Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archived broadcast or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe. Take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Tune in to From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake. On Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 8 o'clock p.m. And after you have listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom. Connect with the Body of Christ Church on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/theBOCC. Follow us on Twitter at theBOCC. And view our videos on youtube.com/theBOCC1. Link with us to learn more about repentance and salvation according to the Holy Bible. Remember what Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." We pray that the information on our pages guide you towards true repentance to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. Shalom.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church. You may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. UReach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thebocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification and repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thebocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.
Everybody, welcome back to our show. We're going to continue with the topic of the confusion that's in the modern world that we're in. Men dressing like women, women dressing like men, men getting sex change operations, and all type of madness going on in this wicked empire that we're in. So we're going to pick back up where we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10.
Lord's will, it'll sound clear since we came from break. So thank you for still tuning in and having those patience. Lord's will, everything will be clear now.
All right, 1 Corinthians 6 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
Yeah, put it up there on the chat room real quick. All right. So what we want to really see here and what we really want to focus on is the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he's given us characteristics of some of the things that, you know, some of the things that fall into the category of unrighteous. And one of them here were someone that was effeminate. And we went into some of these things before break. And I know we were breaking up a little bit, so I just want to go into a little bit more about effeminate. The word effeminate is going right back into a man having qualities of a woman, you know, putting on the characteristics of a woman. And one of them is putting on a dress. All right, so we're bringing that out. So if you're a little boy wearing a dress and your father is also wearing a dress and, you know, in hopes to help you, you know, embrace that comfort zone that it's okay to wear a dress, then you don't want to make it to the kingdom of God, right? So what we're trying to teach here is repentance, and a lot of people can't handle the truth, but this is what it is. That's why our show is called You Can't Handle the Truth, because a lot of topics and a lot of things we bring out, a lot of people don't want to agree with. But according to the scriptures, he's telling us here that if you're an effeminate person, you're not going to make it to the kingdom. Now, the next part says, nor abusers themselves with mankind, which is going to a man sleeping with a man or a woman sleeping with a woman. These characteristics are not accepted by the eyes of the Most High God. And if you don't want to enter into the kingdom, then you keep operating that way, you're not going to make it.
Because the Most High, when you read the scriptures, man, the Most High from the beginning made a difference between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a man has a different role than a woman, but society tried to make it that we all equal in everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a man and a woman is the same. They try to put it out there like, you know, little kids really confuse a young mind,
mm-hmm,
that it doesn't matter if you choose to be with a man or if you choose to be with a woman. There's a vibration that they want to put out there. You know, they want to have, if they can have it this way, they want to have, you know, men dressing like, dressing however they want to dress, and women dressing however they want to dress. There's no unisex on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a bunch of confusion and madness.
But according to the scriptures, we're just bringing out that this is not accepted by the eyes of God. It may be accepted by men. You know, it may be accepted by, you know, society, but according to God, it is not accepted. You know, and we said earlier about even Nicki Minaj, about certain things about how, you know, a lot of people are saying that she has butt transplants and things of that nature. And you got a lot of people out here. Of course, we heard of people getting their, you know, getting the boob jobs or whatever, breast implants. Then people are getting now this Botox all over their face and getting all these different operations, even operations to lose weight. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People are doing all these different things because, like I told you before, they're very superficial. You know what I'm saying? They're not really understanding what the morals are inside and the beauty that is inside, which is supposed to be the scriptures, which we're supposed to follow God with our heart and with our mind. That is someone that is beautiful. But a lot of people are looking at beauty on the outside and not really understanding what true beauty is according to the scriptures. And that's what a lot of people got to understand. You know, we have to indulge in the Bible. And we have to embrace that and not into society in the way that society is being accepted or the things in society for us to be accepted. You want to play that clip? You want to
finish the scripture or you want to jump to the clip?
Yeah, we can jump to the clip because we only got a little bit of time. Might as well jump to the next clip.
All right, we're going to play this other clip. So stand by.
In the first ruling of its kind, a Massachusetts federal judge ruled in favor of an inmate's sex change surgery. Here's WHBQ.
Footing the bill for a murderer. A transgendered inmate serving life in prison for murder is about to get a very pricey surgery, thanks to you, the taxpayer.
The judge ruled sex reassignment surgery is the only adequate treatment for her, noting Michelle Kazlik has the Eighth Amendment right to adequate medical care and the right to no cruel and unusual punishment. The county sheriff isn't too happy about the decision.
This isn't just about the $20,000 that they're estimating it's going to cost for the sex change the taxpayers are going to have to pay. People ought to be looking at how much has it cost in lawsuits for this guy over the past almost 20 years.
Kazlik, previously known as Robert, was born a man and is receiving hormone treatment in the all-male prison. She's serving life in prison for murdering her wife in 1990 and suffers from gender identity disorder. The New England Sports Network predicts this ruling opened up the floodgates.
If it's $200,000, it doesn't stop there. There are 15 more guys, people, you know, individuals with their hands up saying, take mine too.
A writer for Jezebel notes another concern with gender reassignment surgery for a prisoner. The state believes that Kazlik's new biological sex presents a security nightmare. Where can prison administrators possibly house a post-op male-to-female transgender inmate without putting her at risk of assault from male inmates? The Department of Correction will decide where Kazlik will be incarcerated after the surgery. LGBTQ Nation reports inmates in Colorado, California, Idaho, and Wisconsin have been unsuccessful in obtaining approval for gender reassignment surgery in the past. For Newsy, I'm Mary McGuire. Multiple sources, the real story.
Right, so, as you heard, a man who murdered his wife. And he was married to a woman, but now all of a sudden he is in prison, and he wants to get a sex change to be turned into a woman.
Wow.
They call it gender reassignment. Is that what they call it?
Something
gender
like
reassignment
that.
Surgery,
yeah.
Or something like that?
Yeah. This world is crazy, man.
We got a scripture I want to bring out. It's a scripture about Brother Nathaniel. What I'm talking about there. Brother Opera. I'm thinking of his blog talk name.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt.
But the brother had one of this scripture out one time, and I want to bring it out. This is Wisdom of Solomon. In the Apocrypha, chapter 14. And I put the video clip, for those who are interested in watching that video, in the chat room. All right, this is Wisdom of Solomon in the Apocrypha 14 chapter. We start at verse 24.
All right, Wisdom of Solomon chapter 14, verse 24. They kept neither lives nor marriages any longer undefiled, but either one slew another traitorously or grieved him by adultery.
So basically, the scripture is showing you when you turn, this is really going to men turning aside from the Most High and going into idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have in this world. Another scripture I'm going to hit too is Romans, the first chapter. Because Romans, the first chapter, talks about people denying God and he gave them up to their vile lusts. And that's what people are doing in this world right now. They're denying God, and they're running rampant with their lust. Mm-hmm. They have no guidance or nothing to direct them into any type of sense on how they're supposed to conduct themselves. So there's utter confusion, as we was bringing out in the beginning of the show. Utter confusion is what you have going on in this world. So let it read on.
Verse 25. So that there reign in all men without exception, blood, manslaughter, theft, and dissimulation, corruption, unfaithfulness, tumults, perjury, disquieting of good men, forgetfulness of good turns, defiling of souls, changing of kind.
That's the thing right there, changing of kind. What the precepts say for kind?
Sex.
Sex, changing of sex. So the Bible already got this documented that this would be going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Changing of sex.
And disorder in marriages. Adultery and shameless uncleanness.
Adultery and shameless uncleanness.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's basically what they have set up a society which denied and turned their backs on God.
Mm-hmm.
They say this is not a theosophy, whatever word they use. They said this is a democracy.
Yeah.
So it's not based, this government is not based on religion.
No,
it's not based on God. Separation between God and state. So, if it's not based on God, then you might as well just say you can do what the heck ever you want to do in this government.
Yeah, whatever pops into your mind, you can just do.
Because how is a society going to say that it's okay to have an operation that you're going to take taxpayers' money to have an operation to change a man into a woman? That's in prison. Mm-hmm. And now they don't know whether to house them with men or house them with women.
That's crazy.
Let's go to that in Romans the first chapter, real quick. Romans the first chapter. Start at verse 25. Romans 1:25.
Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie?
So they changed the truth of God because a lot of people who have the Bible, but yet they want to do what they want to do anyway. They want to hold the Bible and say, you can be gay. God loves gays too. God loves homosexual. You changing the truth of God to a lie because the Bible didn't say that.
Let's read verse 24 first before you go to 25.
All right, good.
I'm going to read verse 24, Romans 1:24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So it goes right back to what we just read because that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you really see they're dishonoring their own bodies between themselves because we're supposed to follow what the Most High God gave us. Instead, we want to go into our own lust and have sex changes. We want to go into our own lust and wear men wearing dresses. You know, men sleeping with men, women sleeping with women, all this freaky deaky stuff. They're doing all this wild stuff out here in this world and not really understanding that they're going into their lust. You see? So verse 25 said, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than creator?
Yeah, because they're more concerned about physical things. You know, they're more concerned about, you know, the lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. They're more concerned about what they see. You know, you got men now go have a sex change, become a woman, and then want to be with a woman. Men have a sex change, become a woman, and still marry a woman.
Yeah, they're really bugged out.
There's all kind of madness going on, man. It's just, you got, I mean, like, for example, with the little child that wanted to wear a dress.
Mm-hmm.
What about if he said he wants to have a baby? What the father going to do then?
The father then going to have a sex change? So his boy could feel as though when he get older, he could have a sex change? I'm just saying, because since he wore a dress for his son to feel good about it, was he going to get a sex change too?
That's what the boy is probably going to want to desire the first time he's 12 years old.
Exactly.
He's going to be all out of man and probably want to go get a sex change. Okay, read
on. All right, Romans 1:26. For this cause God gave them up into vile affection.
That's a vile affection.
Mm-hmm.
For this cause, because they don't want to deal with the words of the Heavenly Father in Christ, they don't want to deal with repentance. God gave them over to the lust of themselves,
mm-hmm.
to their own lust, to vile affections.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one towards another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat.
Check that out. Working that which is unseemly. Men with men, women with women. Change of kind, change of sex.
Change of gender. That's crazy, man. These people are bugged out.
And they refuse to listen. And then a lot of them, they don't have a church. What about that one? They'll be going to church. Because the churches are not teaching the Bible. They're not teaching the Bible. That's as simple. How can you have a church and people talking about they saved and they still going into such madness when the scriptures speak against it?
And like we always teach anyway, and there's proof out there, all they got to do is do their research, how homosexuals have their own churches. You got some pastors and preachers out there that are homosexuals, and they teach the word. Are you serious? You see what I'm saying? And these people are not really taking heed to sound doctrine. They're just believing whatever it is their emotions are embracing. That's what it is, you know. But see, God gave us a choice to follow him or follow Satan. And a lot of people, as we can see according to scriptures, the whole world is following the God of this world, and that's Satan. They're not following the Most High God and his son Jesus Christ. You want to add to it some more?
No, that's all.
All right. Well, I just want to add a little bit to what we're saying. Just as far as like this gay gene, because a lot of people always talk about that too when they talk about topics like this. They always want to talk about, well, you know, there's a gay gene, there's, you know, there's this and there's that, and you know, he was born that way, and, you know, stuff of that nature. And according to scriptures, we already understand that. We read scriptures, you know, a little while ago about you can't wear that, a man can't wear that which pertains to a woman, and a woman can't wear that which pertains to a man. So we already see off the rip that the Most High God set it up that we're not supposed to do that. And we just read a little while ago about effeminate qualities and, you know, a man putting on qualities like a woman and acting like a woman, all right? And wearing a dress is one of those qualities, all right? And so these are the things that we're supposed to follow. We're supposed to follow sound doctrine. We're not supposed to follow science and follow what, you know, what other people say about this gay gene and things of that nature. Because that's what we hear. A lot of people say, oh, I just can't help it. I was born that way. You know what I mean? So I just want to jump into a couple of scriptures with dealing with that, and then we'll move on. Famous scripture we always use with dealing with this. I just want to go to a couple of scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to read verse 20 and 21. Just to annihilate that, you know, just to destroy that way of thinking that people are always running behind that gay gene, you know, and really act like they got something to stand on, a leg to stand on. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and read verse 20 and 21.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy 6 and 20. Oh, Timothy. Keep that which is committed to thy trust.
Wait, stop there for a minute. Before we even move on, Old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. All right, there's a precept right here that I want you to go to. It's 2 Timothy, all right, chapter 1, read verse 12. We're gonna find out what is that we're supposed to commit.
All right, 2 Timothy 1 and 12.
And keep that which is committed to thy trust. Go ahead.
For the which cause I also suffered those things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have delivered.
I believed.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Keep going.
Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus.
So that is committed to thy trust is talking about the words of Jesus Christ, okay? And that love in Jesus Christ, and the words of sound doctrine, which is of Jesus Christ, which is the word that we're reading. This is what we're supposed to trust in. Read on. Verse 14.
that good things which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Spirit which dwell in us.
All right, so we're supposed to trust in the Holy Spirit which is within us, which is Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to hold on to. We ain't supposed to embrace nothing else but Jesus Christ, all right? And we just read what the words of Christ was about what a man can wear which pertaineth to a woman, and a woman can wear which pertaineth to a man. These are the words of the Most High God and His Son Jesus Christ right here in the Bible, all right? And we just read that you can't have effeminate qualities by no means necessary. These are the words that we're reading in the Bible. So we got to hold on to that. We have to embrace that. So let's go back to 1 Timothy 6 and 20 and read that again.
All right, 1 Timothy 6 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babbling and opposition of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee.
So we got to understand that anything that is the opposite of the Most High God, we're not supposed to follow. No matter, science can say whatever they want to say. Studies and researches can say this. They research this. They study that. There is a gay gene. No. We just read according to the scripture that a man can't do these things.
Yeah.
You understand? So we don't care what scientists you studied under. We don't care what scholars that you studied under.
That's why I say science so called.
Yeah, because it's all false.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because it's against what the Most High God is saying. And that's what the whole world got to realize, is that we got to take heed to what the Bible is saying. You want to bring out a point before
yeah,
I go somewhere?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
This is 1 Corinthians 2 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
Because the science is supposed to be the wisdom of this world.
Exactly.
Because science is what they teach you in school and things of that nature, but yeah, science obviously is a bunch of madness. You got the Big Bang Theory, man evolved from apes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing, you got people, again, who say they believe in the Bible, and yet they believe in these things above the Bible. When the Bible, when you understand what the scriptures are saying, those things that the science is teaching is contrary to scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make a choice.
Exactly.
This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And it reads, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
So the world by wisdom knew not God. So the science don't know God.
Nah.
You know, so science, you can follow science if you want. Science is going to have you destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Science ain't going to save you.
Exactly.
And that's what the science, matter of fact, the science is against God.
Mm-hmm.
The wisdom of this world is against God, because the wisdom of this world is of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the wisdom of this world is. It's all of Satan, because Satan is the prince of this world. So what do you think their wisdom is about?
And when you think about scientists, what do scientists study, brother? They all study that astrology madness.
Yeah.
You see?
They're all into witchcraft.
That's what
just like the signs of the old world. The
exactly.
World.
Exactly.
All witchcraft.
Exactly. So that's where they get their power from and their knowledge and wisdom from, you know.
That's all I have.
Yeah, but let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick. Stay in there and go to 15 anyway. I just want to just bring out that point since you said it, because it's part of 1 Corinthians 15. It's part of what you said just to prove science wrong once again, you know, just to show the people we're just trying to open up their mind to see what the Bible says about certain things that science holds on to that we're not supposed to. 1 Corinthians 15, reverse 38.
1 Corinthians 15, 38.
Mm-hmm.
But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body.
Yeah, so it's right back to evolution, what you said a little while ago, right?
Yeah.
So he's letting us know that anything that's living has its own seed for its own body. You understand? Read on.
All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds.
So it's letting us know that a bird, like in other words, you know how a lot of people say, well, in my past life, I was a fish.
Or I was a seashell.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, that dude. But this is what I'm saying. We all have different seeds for life. You understand?
Yeah.
A bird had his own seed. A fish had his own seed. A human being has his own seed. You understand? Men have their own seed. So people don't really understand that if you read the Bible, all the answers is right there. You don't have to believe what science is saying because we didn't evolve from no damn monkeys.
Yeah.
You understand? So
monkeys are a totally different type of flesh.
Yeah, it's a whole different flesh. It's not of man. It's a different flesh.
Evolution.
But see, this is what the world fails to realize because the world feels as though that they're so deep. He's a scholar or he's a scientist or he has all the wisdom. He has all the answers. But we go to the Bible for our answers just to prove what they're saying is wrong. You see? So this is just one of the things to show them. But I want to go to this other scripture real quick, brother. What about, did you hear this one? Remember when you said the Big Bang Theory and all that?
Yeah.
But just to add to that, did you hear about how they say we have other moons? Did you hear about the saying of, well, I know you heard about
Earth. Earth had other moons?
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, I didn't really hear that.
Yeah, they said that we have many moons, other like a whole bunch of mini moons. This is what they say. And they also talk about how Pluto at one time, because even with science, they say that Pluto, you remember Pluto was a planet at once. And then now they're saying Pluto is a moon for another planet now. Did you hear that?
No.
You didn't hear nothing about Pluto also? Yeah, so it's just real funny how science itself keep changing. That's all I'm saying. I'm just proving that they said at one particular time that Pluto was a planet. Now Pluto's no longer a planet. This is the scientists. This is the wisdom of this world. Now they're saying it's a moon now for another planet.
But that's what they do with all their wisdom. Like even with food, they'll tell you certain foods is not good, and they'll come back and say, okay, this food, we thought it wasn't good, but then now it's good. Or now it's not as bad as we thought it was. It's like they don't know what the hell he's talking about, man. You know, that's why scripture tells us, man, don't put your trust in man, but put your trust in God.
But this is what this world is doing. This world is putting their trust into man, putting trust into science, and not really understanding that there is no validation. Like, there is no foundation of true wisdom. You know what I'm saying? They're just going with the thoughts of their own mind, and they're running with it, and you believe in it.
Yeah, people believe in it.
Because they put a stamp on it, and you automatically believe it. You know what I'm saying? It's sad to say, but I'm just going to say it. You know how a lot of people say, even with our own people, a lot of people say what? They rather hear it from the white man for it to be approved than to hear it from a black man. Because it seems like it's really more approved and it's official. You know what I'm saying? They got a seal on it. If a white man say it, they'll receive it.
Yeah.
You know, but brothers like me and you up here talking, they ain't going to receive nothing. Who's these brothers? These some regular dudes from down the street. They ain't no scholars.
Yeah, they don't know nothing.
But when you read the Bible, the Bible gives you the answers. It's really simple. But they go into the wisdom of this world to receive their knowledge.
That's why, like, the other topic you want to hit, you know, before time run out, is you see a lot of people doing all type of things to their body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting
things
in their lips to blow their lips up, make their lips bigger, putting breast implants in, you know. How you trust
exactly
these things so much that you're going to put things to disfigure your body.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them end up getting sick from it. People end up dying from it.
Exactly.
You know, trying to get a breast implant, end up dying. Trying to get surgery so they can lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about changing your diet? Exercising.
Exactly.
You know, putting things in, like you were talking about that Nicki Minaj, how all these operations she had. She even had a booty implant.
You mean a butt implant?
Butt booty? Was
yeah, I guess.
A butt implant.
How do you get an ass implant? I mean, like, that's really funny. Like, how are you going to just get an implant in your behind? Like, how do you do that?
But that shows you, man, that these people are so vain.
This is crazy.
They're so vain and materialistic and carnal. You know, it's all about, you know, the lust, like we say, the lust of the flesh. You trying to make your behind big so other men can look at you. So men can do what? Look at you.
Exactly. Lust after you.
You know, everything about her is fake. And it's all about being attractive.
superficial big time.
Superficial, exactly. I want to hear a couple of scriptures on that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's go to Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha, 11th chapter. You know, people are doing all type of things to their body. You know, one thing I would like to hear too is I know it's, it may not. I think it still kind of hits the point of, about tattooing.
We see y'all in the chat room. Y'all crazy. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse what now?
Start at 2.
All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2. Well, verse 1. Wisdom lifted up the head of him that is of low degree, and maketh him to sit among great men. Commend not a man for his beauty, not abhor a man for his outward appearance.
So, but that's the world, though. You got Michael Jackson. What did he do? How many operations he had to try to be beautiful?
Yeah, to try to change his nose or whatever else he was doing, his skin, a lot of people say.
Yeah, he's all into his appearance, but what about wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
He obviously didn't have no wisdom
because
he was more concerned about his appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the scriptures tell us, commend not a man for his beauty,
neither
abhor a man for his outward appearance, meaning for the way he looked. Don't hate a person because of the way they look.
Exactly.
Right? You know?
Verse 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bee is little among such as fly, but her fruit is the chief of sweet things.
Yeah, what about the person inside? You know, the qualities of the person inside. What about that? All right, you know?
Boast not of thy clothing and raiment, and exalt not thyself in the day of honor, for the works of the Lord are wonderful, and his works among men are hidden.
So boast not of thy clothing and raiment. And that's what a lot of people think, because they have nice clothes, or they drive a nice car, or they have a big butt, or they have... They think that defines them.
Exactly.
Well, if that defines you, that shows how small of a mind you have.
How superficial you really, how vain and shallow you really are.
Exactly. Very shallow. Mm-hmm. And that's the world, though. This is a shallow world where it's all about lust and material things. But what about the treasure of the hidden man?
Exactly.
Which before God is of great value. What about the character, the type of person you are? You know, those are the things that really count, that are really important. All right, you know?
Verse 5. Many kings have sat down upon the ground, and one that was never thought of have worn the crown.
So you can see somebody right now that got all the riches, but shoot, 10 years from now, they can be a bum. And somebody right now you see is a bum, 10 years from now, they can be a king. They can be a real powerful person.
Exactly.
It's all about the man inside, though, is what's really important. All that really is not something we're supposed to be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Many mighty men have been greatly disgraced, and the honorable delivered into other men's hands. Stop there?
Yeah, that's good. Let me get one more. 25, 29, same book, chapter 25, verse 21.
Ecclesiastes chapter 25, verse 21. Stumble not at the beauty of a woman, and desire her not for her pleasure.
And that's what the people do.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the outward person and don't even consider the demon that's within. You know what I'm saying? Because inside, is that person a kind, intelligent, a virtuous person? And that's what we really supposed to be looking at.
We got
to
see the time.
Alright, hold on one second.
Yeah.
I also want to get that scripture, man. Give me one second. Go ahead, man. What you got, man?
No. That's fine. So where was we at? Verse 21. Stumble not at the beauty of a woman, and desire her not for pleasure, because a lot of people do stumble at the beauty of a woman, and they do desire her for her pleasure, and that's why a lot of people, you know, I can even look at myself on some of the things and some of the mistakes I made with dealing with women in my life, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And when you really look at it, the decision-making would have been different now, because now I'm in the gospel. I'm not going to just pick any old chick just because she has a big butt and a smile, you know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of things that's about that individual that's ugly inside, You see, and you can't judge a book by its cover, as they all say, because inwardly she could be an ugly, angry, bitter individual, or a money hungry person.
She could be a darn psycho.
Yeah, a psycho. And then also on top of that, you know, like you said, she could be a psycho, but even on top of that, she could leave you for somebody else in the drop of a dime.
Exactly.
Someone that's got more money than you.
Exactly.
You know? So that's just the way it goes, man. We're dealing with a lot of different demons out here, man. So you got to be careful with who you choose in your life and who you deal with.
Yeah, the character of a person within
mm-hmm.
is what we got to look at. But it's a shame how people, you know, people have fear going under the knife to save their life. But these people are just going under the knife
mm-hmm.
just so they can look good, make your nose smaller, get cut up to make your nose smaller, get cut up to make your lips bigger, get cut up to make your breasts bigger. You know, it's just ridiculous, man, the way the people have no, I can't even put it into words.
But it's just real sad because even Kanye's mother, remember, she died because she was trying to get an operation. You see, a cosmetic operation.
And as old as she was.
Huh?
As old as she was.
Yeah.
Her age, you thought she'd be satisfied or content with her physical appearance. And she was supposed to be a religious woman, so they say.
Wow. But see, this is the thing that a lot of people are doing out here. They're just trying to, like we said earlier, they're just looking for materialistic things and superficial approval, you know what I'm saying? And people don't really know what mind superior really is. That's what you should hit real quick before we, unless you want to hit something else.
Hit one more and then we'll get that.
We ain't going to have time.
All right.
That's all right.
Well, Leviticus 19 and 20. No, 19, hold on one second.
Yeah.
19 and 28, I'm at this.
Oh. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord.
The reason why I read that, because a lot of people get tattoos. Tattoos is another big thing. When I was young, you know, it was really white people that was doing it. But now you have blacks doing it like crazy. Now people are getting tattoos all over their arms, legs, butt, face, even on their face.
Face, neck, everything.
Printing marks upon their bodies, which is against the commandments of God. It is a sin for you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have, brother.
Nah, I mean, well, there's other scriptures we wanted to hit, but the point came out, and you know, a lot of people gotta really understand that you can't entertain these demons, and you gotta really read the Bible and try to save your soul. And dealing with your children, you know, you really have to correct them when they come up in foolishness. You know, we really have to let them know what foolishness is, and we have to, you know, teach them the commandments of the Most High God, so they can now teach their children when they have children, and their children can teach their generation. And it just keeps going and going and going until Christ comes back on the scene. And, you know, the judgment of Christ is real, and a lot of people don't really want to see it as that. You know what I'm saying? They don't think that it's real. So a lot of people don't want to believe in Christ, so they're going to continue. Men are going to continue wearing dresses. Men are going to continue having these operations. Women are going to continue giving butt transplants. Sounds crazy, but you know, a lot of these women are going to run out here getting all these different transplants and having these operations because, like I said earlier, they're very shallow and they don't have no morals. So their beauty to them is what they have on the outside, because inwardly they're hiding behind their ugliness, really.
I'm going to read the scripture real quick.
Mm-hmm.
This is 1 Timothy 2 and 9. In like manner also that women adore themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which become a woman professing godliness with good works. So that's the thing, you know, but women in this society are not professing godliness, and they're all about wearing costly apparel and, you know, trying to be all fancy and entice men, but yet the inward person is corrupt.
Very ugly.
And perverse. With that, we thank you for tuning in. And I hope you receive edification and giving all praises to the Most High in Christ for the ability to come out into this class.
And with that, we hope that the Most High will have mercy on all of our souls. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom, and may the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. UReach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thebocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification and repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thebocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.